These are the words of the poet Rumi, the guest house. This being human is a guest house, every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, and some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door, laughing, and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. And now we turn to our chalice lighting, and Faye will share the words. Our gathering hymn is number 1024, When the Spirit Says Do. It's in the teal hymnal, if you prefer to use the book. The words will appear on the wall here. During this portion of the worship service, we have an opportunity to participate in a ritual with stones and water. They complete the four earth elements that appear in our service of earth, water, air, and fire. In the ritual, the stones represent a joy, a care, a concern, a sorrow that you are carrying in your life at this time. Place it into the bowl of water, which represents this community, this beloved community. Set down the stone and allow this community to hold it with you. Would you rise in body or spirit for our gathering hymn, When the Spirit Says Do? The zipper words are do, laugh, cry, and shout. Oh, you're too smart. Way too smart. Any other ideas of what the dog days of summer are? Nothing to do with dogs. What does it have to do with, Lori?
I don't remember. I know I heard it, but I can't remember.
You can't remember?
I think it had to do with the dogs in general. I think it had to do with the storm.
What do you feel like in the dog days of summer?
Tired.
Tired, hot, panting. But it has nothing to do with dogs. It actually goes back to the time of the Greeks and Romans, when they were looking up in the summer sky and they saw the dog star Sirius rising at the same time as the sun. And the story goes that because it was summer and it seemed to coincide with the hottest, driest, droughtiest days of the year, these were the dog days of summer. So Martin was right. But there's another odd holiday at this time of year. Actually, yesterday was Fool's Paradise Day. Who wants to take a guess at what Fool's Paradise Day is? You're not all students of strange holidays? No? Well, Fool's Paradise Day, designated July 13th, first of all, what is Fool's Paradise? What does that mean to you? Robin, you got an idea? You don't have to do nothing. Everyone will take care of you. I think you're getting something there with the second phrase. Anybody else want to take a guess? Fool's Paradise. Illusion, yeah, okay, well, so some people attribute this phrase to Shakespeare. It probably goes back further than that. And basically, it means someone who's in a state of happiness based on false hope. But everyone can use a little false hope every now and then, can't they? All right. Well, so you have a state of enjoyment based on false beliefs. It's illusory, as Susie said. What else can I tell you about Fool's Paradise Day? Some people think it's a day off for the mind. Did you all take a day off for your mind yesterday? Yes. So in some of the websites that I perused for this, it says if real life is wrecked up and everything is going wrong, the message is to close your eyes and dream yourself into another world. Paradise is an imagined place where no pain, work, sorrow, annoyance, or worries exist. Now, I don't need to get rid of the work because I love work, and it doesn't matter if I'm here or in my yard. I love doing work. But, you know, pain and sorrow and annoyance, yeah, let's get rid of those. And you can forget about the troubles in real life. So this day is called Fool's Paradise Day because escaping from reality or fading out one's troubles needs a little foolishness. People who think too much and know a lot are usually not easily able to let go. Martin, are you good at letting go? Yeah, I had you singled out the whole time. You're just playing along. It's not foolish, though, to close your eyes and let go of things, is it? It's something that we can all benefit from and appreciate. So we let the whole world fall apart around us, as Susan was telling us this morning, and we create our own paradise that we can visit whenever we need a break. So before I switch over, I want to find out from those people who are chronologically young and may or may not be staying in the sanctuary with us, what they're doing this summer. What's your favorite pastime in the summer, Jordan? Play with the hose. Water sports. Yeah. Swimming. Running through the sprinkler. Right, Jordan? Yeah, that's fun. And it's good on a hot day, isn't it? What about you? What do you like to do during the summer?
Play video games.
You don't go outside and run around? You do that too. Okay, good. I'm glad you have a balance. And what about you? What do you like to do during the summer? You want your mom to say it? He likes to swim in the pool. Do you have a pool at home? Oh, you are so lucky. I don't know where to go swimming this summer. I haven't been here in the summer. Can I come over to your house and swim?
Yes.
Oh, good. And we have some other young people back here. What do you like to do?
Sleep.
Sleep. All right. I actually remember those days. I would read a book on the couch all day long because it was too hot to be outside, and I would fall asleep. And what about you? Exactly, exactly. What about you, Maya?
I work.
You work. Do you have a paid job?
Yes, I work at the farmer's market on Saturdays. Hashtag Miss Jill.
Oh, excellent, excellent. She's earning some money during her summer vacation. It's about time, her mother says. I don't know. You got her going pretty early. Yeah, okay, well. Okay, all right, like a mother, like daughter. That's a good thing. So those are some things that the kids like to do during the summer, and we'll talk more as adults about the things that feed our souls during the summer. But right now, we're going to sing Spirit of Life. The words will be up there. It's number 123 in the gray hymnal, if you are so inclined. And Nicole, can you stand up, please? Nicole Perez, is our 3 to 7-year-old program leader this morning, and she's going to take the kids up to room 305, the 3 to 7-year-olds. And Jennifer Malos, just so you know, is the acting DRE while Kristen is at Star Island on study leave. And there is, for all of you who are young at heart and need something to occupy your hands, a box crate in the back there with some colored pencils and coloring sheets, if that helps you to be present and participate this morning. So let's sing Spirit of Life. We are grateful for your gifts this morning, which will support our families who come twice a month for a food pantry, their children who often need extra support for clothing and cool supplies and books to read, and all of that makes the summer go better. Thank you. So, I have a meditation by Mark Bellatini, who is a retired minister. And was Mark wrote music too, didn't he? Or his words are words are set to music, and you'll probably sort of sense that musicality in him. This is called Summer Silence. So in the spirit of meditation, please settle yourselves to hear Mark's words. In summer, I do not come to worship so much as worship comes to me. In the morning, golden light splashes across my rooms and roses the color of wine greet me in the alley. As they bow to me in the breeze, I bow back. At noon, sunflowers refuse to turn their face from me until again I give a slight bow. What else was I to do? In the evening, the thunderheads mount higher and higher, gathering pink and rose from the setting sun, creating the kind of vast mountain hanging suspended in the air, the very mountain Jesus spoke of, or the Sufi poet Rumi, or Krishna's wild lover Mirabai. Again, I pause and bow. What else can I do? At night, when the pastel sky melts into a dark indigo lake overhead, the rusty beacon of Mars beckons above the horizon so that I cannot fail to notice and bend the knee. My friend Richard calls me from San Francisco, or Doug emails me from Paris, or Kevin leaves a voice message, and again, I am bending and bowing in thanks. The bows are small gestures, I know, but surely better than all these ineffective words. And so in the end, my praise turns to silence, and silence turns to me. Let us take a moment for pastoral prayer as we incorporate the sorrows and the joys of life, which are woven so deeply in each of us. If you would settle yourself for a moment. Spirit of life, Spirit of love, be with us and among us. We ask you, Spirit of Life, to honor, to hold up those who have journeyed through a lifetime of experiences, the ups and downs, the joys of the fullness of life in our mature years and childhoods, as well as the challenges that come upon us unbidden, unwanted, and yet must be lived through, sometimes overcome, sometimes not. Spirit of life, we ask that you journey with those who are approaching the ends of their days, with those who are experiencing health challenges, with those who have made their transition, who now float on the river towards the sea. Spirit of life and love, we also ask you to be with us in our joys, in our celebrations, in the humorous parts of our lives, when we go back to something that we used to know but don't know any longer, when we reach a milestone in our lives, when we celebrate the days, the dog days of summer, and being fools in this paradise in which we live. Spirit of life and Spirit of love, we know you are among us and within us all the days of our lives. Amen. Blessed be. Namaste. My second meditation this morning is by Kathleen McTeague. It is a work she entitled Summer Sabbath. Go someplace you haven't seen before, where no one knows you, where you don't think twice about what to wear, how you look, or who might be watching, as you let your body ease out into the sun and bask, lazy as a cat. Untether yourself from the engines of busyness one by one, laptop, desktop, wristwatch, scribbled lists, even the telephone, especially the one you carry everywhere, the little tyrant. This will all feel unnatural, but it's not. Sit by the water, a place where the sea comes in, warm as a breath, where the crest of each nighttime wave catches the moon and spreads it out again, lavish on the sand. Or a little stream in the mountains, where 100 tumbling voices burble and blend in your quieting mind until behind them you almost hear a choir of wood angels humming. Or a still lake outside your grandfather's cabin, water lapping so lightly you can barely make out its tongue rasping the sand, shores ringed by pine and sweet cedar, and beyond them high mountains in their silence. Go and don't think about time, how much you've got left, how to pass, fill, use, or spend it, whether you might accidentally lose or waste it, and certainly never entertain the thought that time is money. It's not. Instead, consider your life, who you love and why, how blessed you are to be here, resting under a shower of birdsong, or what strange bright luck it is to be the owner for a few years of this beating heart, these wondering eyes, the ears into which the kingfisher spills her small chuckle as she dips across the water. You might ponder these things, but you could also let the whole creaking apparatus of thought come to a halt. You might surrender and let the world spill in through the five gates, no sentry standing sorely watch. No one left to resist or defend. The innermost courtyard stands empty then, a clear fountain singing at the center. What are your favorite pastimes? We heard from the kids. What do you do in the summer that you don't do at any other time of the year? Pat's going to help me out with the microphone. Give you a chance to come up with something. Yeah, well, I had a friend up in Maine who didn't come to church in the summertime because she was worshiping the Church of the Holy Kayak. So if we don't see Susan, we know what she's doing. She's worshiping. I'm going to rephrase the question just a tad to help stir some more juices in your hearts, and that is, how do you feed your soul? Go ahead. Concerts in the park. Yeah. I remember going down to concerts in the park. There were always, and there was Shakespeare in the park, too, in Minneapolis. That was during the daytime, so kids would go and sit on the lawn in front of the little stage and watch Shakespeare in the park. Dion? And regardless of which direction your balcony is facing, you probably can see the colors in the sky as the sun sets. Watching the setting sun can be a spiritual practice. John?
Yeah, I like to do that with those two.
Okay. Okay. So it sounds like even those of you who haven't shared out loud, like you have plenty of practices to make your summer a Sabbath, a restorative rest in some way from the hubbub of other times of the year. Of course, everything around us is growing like crazy. It's not resting. The rest of nature happens at a different point in the calendar. One of the things that, well, I'm sure the kids probably don't feel like things are slowing down, but the rest of us probably feel like slowing down during the summer. And taking time to slow down our lives is important. We talked about forest bathing. There's also grounding or earthing, which Martin is not quite there yet because his feet are on wood, but going barefoot is really good for you. Physically, emotionally, it's a little difficult on asphalt, but if you can get out into a lawn, that's great. If there are no other sharings that are just dying to be shared, I've got a little teaser for next week. This is an excerpt from an essay in Prairie Soul, Finding Grace in the Earth Beneath My Feet by Jeffrey Lockwood. It's called Bearing My Souls. You'll understand why it's a teaser for next week. Technically speaking, man never walked on the moon. Elaborate spacesuits encased the astronauts, kept them alive, and ultimately created a barrier that separated them from the lunar surface. From their stunning photographs, we can see the lunar landscape, but we can only imagine the feel of the frigid, powdery dust and jagged stones. Maybe if we fill a cake pan with flour, sprinkle in a few broken nutshells, place this mixture in the deep freeze overnight, and then stand in it the next morning, we can get a sense of what it might be like to walk on the moon. But we don't really know, because nobody has ever walked on the moon. Skipping ahead just a little bit. In our culture, barefootedness is a condition generally restricted to childhood. Summers, in particular, are an invitation to bare our flesh, including our souls. Growing up in New Mexico, the challenge was excessive heat. The tackier the asphalt, the faster the dash, until the final leap across the blistering sidewalk onto the cool green lawn brought blessed relief. However, in Laramie, summers are short, and even then, evenings are cool, often too cool for naked arms, legs, or feet. More than once, I've pulled on a sweatshirt and huddled under a blanket to watch the 4th of July fireworks. If summer is the time for exposing flesh, then water is the place for nude feet. The barefoot summers of my childhood cycled around visits to the swimming pool at the Coronado Club, with afternoons spent lounging in the standard backyard version featuring the ever-leaking aqua blue liner. The season peaked with a family vacation to the beach. My Aunt Mary, Uncle Chuck, and three cousins lived in Southern California, within an hour's drive of the coast. If anything could compare to the feeling of water-soaked grass after a leap from sun-softened asphalt, it was a running dive into the Pacific after crossing the Mojave Desert in a Ford Falcon station wagon without air conditioning. At the level of the soul, perhaps the more direct sensation was the cool, wet sand at the edge of the surf after a mad sprint across the scorching beach. I'll end there. Our closing song is a celebration of summer as well. It is "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." And the words will be up here on the wall. And please, who had the clicker? Helen, how's it working? It's working. All right, you may stand in body or spirit, and let's sing out gustily. Our chalice extinguishing words. We extinguish this chalice, for the worship has ended. Our service begins.